This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K to 12 at ChooseProMavera.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We sent out the bat signal, and our guy Tom Hauser is here. Not joking around here to start, because part of the reason why Tom wanted to come on, and he did discuss this when he was on today, the passing of Stan Turner. Stan Turner was a fixture at Channel 5 for decades. After he left Channel 5, he was also a fixture in local radio. Yeah, passed away recently, and Tom, I'm very sorry. And I know you want to talk about just the impact that Stan had on your career, not only as a professional, but just as a human.
Yeah, you know, he is responsible for the fact that I even got into television. I was at the University of St. Thomas. I was studying to be a print journalist. I wanted to be a newspaper reporter and a columnist, kind of like Sid Hartman, Nobody could be exactly like Sid Hartman. But that's what I wanted to do. And I took one class in radio and television broadcasting, which, by the way, back then was all that St. Thomas offered, was this one class. And I took it as an elective to get my last journalism credit that I needed. And during the course of that, Stan Turner was the instructor. And he had us go out in the field, and we would put together some really rudimentary and probably really awful stories. But somewhere in that refuse, he saw, you know, something that he thought should steer me towards broadcasting and television. And it was because of him. I was sending out clips all over to newspapers around the country at a time all the afternoon dailies were going out of business.
Oh, yeah.
Minneapolis Star, The Dispatch. That was all happening in the early 80s. So you had all of these experienced journalists looking for the same newspaper jobs I was looking for coming right out of school. And so Stan was there, and he said, Tommy, I think you ought to steer toward broadcasting. One thing leads to another. He helped me set up an interview at an ABC affiliate down in Austin, Albert Lea, Channel 6. And I ended up getting a job down there 16 days after I graduated from St. Thomas, never having been on television, never having even had an internship in a television newsroom. And I think because of what he taught us in that class, I actually felt prepared. I mean, the one thing that he always stressed to us was what life was going to be like in a television newsroom.
Yeah.
It's going to be loud. It's going to be crazy. You're not going to be writing your stories in a library. So he said, get used to it. You're going to have to turn this stuff out, and you got to turn it quickly, and you got to do it in a very noisy environment. There's little things like that I would think about almost every day. I've worked in newsroom for more than 40 years.
Well, it's such a fabulous point because, you know, if you go to college or even think back to high school or whatever, you know, you take these classes and you wonder, what am I really getting out of this long term? And if something that you can apply to your work, and for you, this is what, 90, 100 years ago when you were in college? I was kind of bold.
Roughly 95. Yeah,
95.
Let's not split
right.
Hairs.
The fact that still stays with you every day, that is something rare, and hopefully more people, you know, still have that than I think, or just more people are going to college right now, whichever profession they follow. If they can get some of that, then so much of what they did and paid for and you know, probably spend hundreds of hours on homework, then it was worth it.
Yeah, and he used to give us assignments in class. It would be a page with like 20 facts on it. And he would say, okay, I need you to write some copy on this, like 30 seconds worth of copy. I need it in 10 minutes. And I remember looking at him going, this is take home, right? I can bring this in tomorrow. He goes, no, you've got a newscast coming up in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I need that copy in 10 minutes. He would let us keep talking in the classroom, unlike most classrooms where the instructor wants it to be quiet. He goes, I want this to be like a newsroom. And so
yeah,
you would sit down
great.
And you'd try to make sense of these facts that he gave you, and how can you put it into something that the viewer is going to understand. Little things like that, and it was so much different than newspaper reporting where you get more hours and you get more time. You don't have to boil things down to 30 seconds. You could write many, many column inches if necessary. So just that one rudimentary broadcasting class taught me so much. And then, you know, he helped me, you know, get the interview. I had to go get the job on my own, but I went down to this TV station and interviewed, and they hired me.
Did you run down there?
No.
Okay.
I actually drove. In fact, I drove in a blizzard to my interview, and I'll never forget when I walked in the front door at KAAL TV, trying to say that five times fast.
Yeah.
I walk in the door, you know, I'm brushing the snow off me, and Patty, who was at the front desk, who is still a friend of mine to this day, I said, Patty, I'm Tom Hauser. I'm here to see Mr. Cathcart. And she just looked at me, okay. And so I hear her on the intercom, Mr. Cathcart, Tom Hauser is here to see you. And he goes, he is? Because they couldn't believe I drove 2 hours in a blizzard to go
nice commitment.
Interview.
Yeah.
And I think it probably helped, you know, in the news business. We spend a lot of time driving in blizzards, and he probably figured, well, if he's dumb enough to do that, to come down for an interview, he's probably dumb enough to do whatever we tell him to go out and cover.
Well, so, now you know how Dave feels when he's trying to track you down before one of our interviews. It feels like he drove 2 hours. We got the, you know, your 19 phone numbers when you're tracking down. Yeah, I mean,
I got to just tell you one quick story.
Yeah.
I talked to Jason. You remember Jason Davis?
Oh, sure. On the road.
Jason Davis. I'm working on a story for At Issue this Sunday morning about Stan Turner's career here and the impact he had on Twin Cities Broadcasting. So I interviewed Jason, and I had never heard this story until today. But Stan Turner discovered Jason Davis when Jason Davis was working at a station in Phoenix. And Stan Turner was down there visiting his mother, saw Jason and heard his wonderful British/Australian accent on the air, and said, we got to hire that guy. Stan was also the news director here at the time. He gets back into town. He calls Jason out of the blue, and one thing leads to another, and he hires Jason Davis to come up here. And Jason Davis told me just today that Stan Turner changed his life.
Wow.
Trajectory of his life and his career.
Oh, it's great.
Talks about what a great guy he was to work with and for, and so it was really fun to hear that story.
3-year battle with cancer, 81 years of age. His career started in 1965 at KDWB, and it finished in radio at KLBB. So yeah, what a career for Stan Turner. So I'm glad you had a chance to talk about him.
And, you know, I actually visited him in hospice just last Thursday, so less than a week ago.
And you said he was great, right?
We had a great 30-minute conversation, and I was so grateful. I was able to tell him the same things I just told you and your listeners about what he taught me in class and how that stuff has stuck with me. And he was so gratified to hear that, and I was so grateful to be able to tell him that. Again, I've told him that before, but, you know, it was just a wonderful 30 minutes, and I know Mr. Hubbard, Stan Hubbard, and Ginny Hubbard went and visited him last week as well. And so he had a lot of visitors. Jason Davis and his family got in there. So he had a great last few weeks and days, and so I was really glad for him and his family.
Very nice touch, too. If people are making that effort, it's really a testament to the human. And that's what you've pointed out so much here about Stan Turner. I want to talk one other issue and then let you go. What are your thoughts on this Pete Hegseth pledge? Okay. Pete Hegseth, who obviously decides what's classified, what's not classified, what's on signal, what's not on signal, when is asking the Pentagon Press Corps to sign a pledge that they only will approve, report information approved by the Defense Department themselves. I mean, how arrogant is this? Does he think it's all just state-run media? This guy who was so cavalier about information himself, including his wife for no reason, now he's saying to reporters who are reporting information, who, by the way, they're not new to the business if they reach the Pentagon. They realize when it's classified, not classified. He's saying no matter the information, before they broadcast or print, they want to make sure the Pentagon is on board. That is just insulting to the freedom of press.
Well, and just speaking purely from a journalist standpoint, it's ludicrous. It is state-run media, mm-hmm. if people agree to that. And I am surprised by a lot of this that is coming out of now the Secretary of War's office.
Yeah.
I've had Pete Hegseth on At Issue before, back when he was authoring books, and I thought he was a very good guest. And he talked about the responsibility of when a man or woman gets in the arena and how you have to conduct yourself. And he was really good as a guest on my show. But he has to understand, I think in his heart, that he can't expect any journalist, a real journalist, to abide by this. Now, if it's classified information about that's going to put the military in harm's way, totally understand that. But if you find but if you find out about, you remember the stories from back in the 80s and 90s about the $5,000 toilet seats that the Pentagon was buying and those types of things, that is not putting any soldier or airman or, anybody in harm's way. But that's what he's asking. Anything that's not approved by us,
not allowed.
You cannot report.
It's a joke.
I don't see that. There's been a lot of talk lately from the Trump administration about free speech. They don't really talk much about freedom of the press.
No.
They're
all for it as long as it praises Donald Trump. Let's just be honest. That's it. And I mean, there's been a lot of reporting.
And again, we're not putting words in the president's mouth because he put them there. He has said those things.
Exactly.
He has said that there are negative things being said about me, and I don't like it. It's not right.
Yeah.
And he has every right to not like it. But if it's true, there's not much he should be able to do about
it. Well, and obviously, as you know, the legal standard of malice is even higher than that for a public figure, because incompetent reporting does happen. If you find out it's intentional and it's coordinated, that is a very different situation. Let's also be honest. There's been a lot of negative reporting on Hegseth, and he hasn't enjoyed that. Hey, I'm very, very sorry about Stan Turner. Full life. Your comments, I'm sure, resonated with a lot of people who watched Stan for a long time. You're a good man, Tom. I appreciate it. Be well, and we'll talk soon.
And look for the story on At Issue Sunday morning at 10 about Stan Turner's career here at Channel 5.
Excellent. Tom Hauser, he's back on tomorrow because Vanita's on this trip. So a couple more days of Tom in the mornings. She's been back for a couple days, but we have not had a chance to talk on air. Susan K. Jones, who's dumping America for Ireland. She'll break that news when we come back.
This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K-12 at ChoosePrimavera.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, guess who's joining us today?
Susan Gage.
Not even she knows what she'll say.
Susie Joe.
If you cross her, she will set you straight.
That is incredibly accurate.
Or she might be looking for a date.
All's correct.
Susie Joe. It's time for Susie Joe.
We missed you. 100%.
Thank you.
Did we rip you? Yeah, we did. We were like, are you ever coming back? Like, how long has she been gone?
2 weeks.
Yeah. Did you ever miss work? Did you ever miss us?
No, not 1 minute.
Thanks.
Just
saying. Was that for both? That was work?
Yeah. I did not think about work or Dave or Chad or anybody.
Not once.
Mm-mm.
How about your family?
Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah.
Yeah, I checked in occasionally with them.
Yeah. Right amount of time, it sounds like.
Yep. I was ready, though. 2 weeks is a long time to travel.
Long time.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're down to, what, 9 weeks of vacation
time? I still have nine more to squeeze in before the end of the year.
I think. Okay. We just were talking about the coolest thing you did.
Mm-hmm, and well, I showed you.
Yeah, you showed me. Why don't you tell people about it, too?
What my favorite part of Ireland was?
Yeah. This Newgrange.
Newgrange is a ceremonial tomb that was excavated, discovered in 1962.
Okay.
And they spent years and years uncovering it. And it turns out it's this massive underground tomb and ritual and ceremonial site in Ireland, probably about an hour outside of Dublin.
Okay.
Gorgeous. I mean, and very, very spiritual in that is where the people would come. Obviously, for celebrations, for the death of someone. So a lot happened at these sites for different events and occasions. But you got to go in the middle of it, mm-hmm. which was quite cool.
Yeah, some of the pictures are spectacular.
Yeah.
Okay, how many people on the trip?
16, not a lot.
16.
Mm-hmm.
How annoyed were you with each one?
Not much. We stayed out of each other's way. It was a beautiful tour. It was called Celtic Tours, and we stayed in castles and were treated like royalty. Oh. I mean, it was very la-di-da.
Very 1% trip.
Very. Yeah. And
we can only think of it.
The rooms were spectacular. Yeah.
Food?
Food was good.
Yep.
Yep. I had a lot of Irish stew.
A lot of stew.
Oh, I told you guys this. You were gone Monday, golfing, but overrated and underrated. They have Heineken Zero, you know, my non-alcoholic, on tap.
Oh, nice.
And that's an unusual thing to have something like that on tap.
Did you, how'd you sleep?
Great.
Yeah?
Yep.
You did not meet a guy?
I did not. And I really wasn't looking. You know what I mean? I want to, there's a part of me that would like this to be organic. Just if I bump into him.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going with.
Okay, you have a story to share.
Yes, because so I'm back from my trip, and I'm all kind of into the pagan and the rituals. So I bought a calendar, a pagan calendar, or it was a Celtic with the seasons. And I open up.
Oh, great. Another calendar person who's a regular on the show.
Right. Okay.
Another person who's got her own calendar. We already have Adam do this, okay?
Does he have his own calendar?
Yes, he does. Yeah.
Anyway, point is I'm reading about it, and, you know, in this time of year, you're better connected with the other side, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
So I found all these pictures, and I had a really kind of a spiritual morning thinking about the people in my life who've died and how much I love them. Came into work today, and I've got my music on, and I'm in good spirits, and I feel nice, and I park cheap down on 5th and 9th, and I'm walking on the sidewalk with kind of nice music, different music, more like folksy, not my thing.
Yeah.
But
could be listening to the station.
I could.
Yeah.
Anyway, I slip, and I fall.
Oh.
And I'm on the ground, and my foot's bleeding, my knee hurts.
Oh.
And I turn around, and guess what I've slipped on?
Irish
peel.
Irish stew.
A pile of dog poo.
Oh,
I am not kidding you. And I thought to myself, what is happening?
Yeah.
I didn't know what to do. And everybody kept running over. Are you okay? And I'm like, yes, I'm okay.
Did you fall in the poop?
I did. It was all over my pants and my shoe. And I'm just standing there like, this is disgusting.
Well, you go to Target.
I literally
shift all the time, so.
I checked. It was open. I walked in.
Hold on a second. You checked if Target was open.
I don't know. Sometimes
open.
It's not open until 10. It opens at 7.
Yeah.
I walk in gingerly, hoping nobody notices. I run to the pant rack, grab 3 pair.
Yeah.
Go quietly into the room. I said, I'm bringing 3 back.
Yeah.
I take the disgusting pants off.
Yeah, right.
I roll them inside out.
Yeah.
And then I try on these that I have on.
Yep.
They were perfect. I left them on, ripped the tag off, paid, put the nasty stuff in a paper plastic bag. And then I thought, I got to get some different shoes because my shoes are yucky. So I go, and the manager of Target is there, and she's like, what can I help you with? And I said, I've just had the worst day of my life. And then I tell her.
I don't know if it was quite the worst day of your life.
No, I've had a tough morning, I think I said. Anyway, she went and got me Band-Aids because I've got all these owies on me. And I got a new pair of sandals at Target. Anyway, I'm walking back to work and I'm feeling kind of embarrassed.
Did they give you a little discount?
No, heck no.
No, come on.
I'm coming back to work and I'm feeling a little, a little.
You're out of sorts because of that.
I probably opened some weird door to the other side. So I come into work and I sit down. And I'm at my desk and I'm undoing everything and I'm getting ready to start work and I can't find my phone.
Uh-oh, it's in your pants.
Oh, my God. I'm like, what is happening? I need to go home. I'm going to cry right now thinking about how much else could happen to make me want to go just in the middle of that tomb and just stay there. Anyway, of course, Taylor, she's like, don't go, don't get too riled up. Let's call it. Find my phone. And then she called it. And lo and behold.
They had it.
A guy answered. He's at the hen house.
What?
He said, I found your phone on the sidewalk. I'm at the hen house having breakfast.
From the fall. It fell
out of
your pocket?
No. This is an hour after the fall. 45 minutes. So I'm coming to work with my new pants from Target to work and carrying things. I must have just whatever.
Yeah.
So he says, I have it. And then, of course, he tells Taylor, I have a baseball hat on and a green sweater, blah, blah, blah. And Taylor's like, what if it's him? What if it's your romantic?
What if he looks like George Clooney?
Right?
Yeah.
So I ran over in my new pants and my sandals.
How'd you look?
Well, like I look now.
Yeah, very good.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was a nice man. Happily married.
Teeth.
Yeah.
401k.
I didn't get into that.
Would you have dated him?
No.
Yeah.
But it was still kind of funny. And now things have settled.
Dave, let's both.
Such a quick no.
Yeah.
A guy who did something so kind.
I'm gonna say she tipped him. I mean, a phone, $500.
No, Dave, I didn't give him anything.
She didn't tip him.
Thank you.
No.
Goodbye. I did think if he's handsome, I thought if he would have been really hot.
Yeah, then you would have done what?
I don't know. Sat down. He was in a booth.
You would have allowed him the pleasure of talking to
My
you.
God.
Selfless.
Okay. You just basically saved my life with my phone. You know what my gift is to you? You get to talk to me.
You
for
get to talk to me.
2 minutes.
I'm going to be in your presence.
2 minutes. Should Susie have tipped this person? Obviously,
no.
I was going way over the top with $500.
No. I could have bought his tea. He was having tea.
Yes or no, text away. 651-461-9226. You find a phone, should you tip? I lost a phone one time.
And?
Person, somehow, I'm trying to think how he knew it was me, called the station. This when Tenna was answering phones. Said, hey, some guy's trying to get a hold of you. He has your phone. This is when I had landlines.
Mm.
You know what this guy wanted out of me? This is why I started the $500. I wanted $500.
No way.
I'm like, I'm not giving you $500.
Oh, get a new phone, you bird brain.
I go, I'll just get a new phone. He's like, how much? I go, I'll give you $20. No, $250. I go,
oh, my God.
I go, this is our last conversation. I'll give you $20. And so I actually gave him a little more.
Yeah.
But I was tempted to give him zero because he was being such a jackass.
Yeah, what a smart out. That's no good. And then I just want to finish with the fact that I got off the airplane and I got sick. So I've been now sick.
Yeah.
But I have.
Does that mean you're getting us sick now?
It's possible. It's possible. But I don't.
Mean, we made out earlier in the day.
I know. I saw that was a little moment. I should have told you I didn't. I had a cold.
Yeah.
Not only that, we've learned that today she has been to the hen house. Do I see any chocolate treats?
No, yeah. And I thought I should have. I was thinking I deserve a chocolate treat being the hell that I've been through this morning.
We weren't talking about you.
Yeah, we're not concerned about you.
Excuse me. Mm. I mean, come on.
You'd probably spill it on your new pants.
You dog.
Susie among the techs should have flirted like when she got her free eyeglasses. No, she should not have tipped and let people do things just to be nice. No, Susie did not need to tip.
Thanks.
People can do things out of kindness sometimes. Thank you's enough. Tip, yes, Texas says.
There you got somebody.
The guy's, by the way, outside.
He
wants to talk to you now about the tip. He's thought about it. He wants the phone back.
He's in.
Glad,
he's in for the
tip. Glad you are back.
Thank you. I've had a good time, but I'm happy to see you. It's been a long time. And
yes.
We're into the fall season. Football's here. It's my favorite time of year. And I think I might have opened the door to the other side just in hindsight, and then I'll shut up. My dad and his brothers probably would have thought that was hysterical that I slipped and fell on poop.
Yeah.
So I just think that might have been.
They played that little joke on.
The little Jones.
I love it.
Jones brothers said, ha, you want to talk to us over here? We're going to make your life a little miserable.
We'll get to the Kimmel conversation when we come back.
This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K to 12 at ChoosePrimavera.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Punctuation day. Dave's a sucker for the exclamation point. Overused.
Come on.
All right, Jimmy Kimmel, let's remind you again. This is on a Monday. Charlie Kirk had been assassinated the previous week. We did not have the charges until the next day. Let me try that again. Because I've covered this a couple times. The formal charges and the confirmation of a pastor recognizing him, a father talking to him, a mother talking to him, the chat that was taking place, the roommate talking to him, that came out the day after. If Charlie Kirk, a very successful conservative activist, provocative activist, is going to be shot, I don't fault someone for thinking, yeah, somebody who doesn't agree for him was gunning for him. We also had plenty of rumors suggesting, no, it was someone who was further to the right than Kirk. So nothing's confirmed, but I don't fault my gut instinct, probably was the same as yours. This is somebody who just doesn't like Charlie Kirk, hates Charlie Kirk. Is using a grotesque, vile act to silence him.
The easiest and most obvious explanation.
Yep. And we would find out that he was a part of a very conservative family, started moving, but also in that press conference. That's when we had Andy Luger on that day, and Luger's as great as I. They were very limited in their information. Okay? So this is the day before when he's not mocking Charlie Kirk. Let's just listen, boys and girls. This is like the fourth or fifth time we've played this. Let's again play Jimmy Cummins. You have the joke also a part of it?
Yep.
Good. Here we go. Here's the whole thing.
Some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it. In between the finger pointing, there was grieving. On Friday, the White House flew the flags at half staff, which got some criticism. But on a human level, you can see how hard the president is taking this.
My condolences on the loss of your friend Charlie Kirk. May I ask, sir, personally, how are you holding up over the last day and a half, sir?
I think very good. And by the way, right there, you see all the trucks. They've just started construction of the new ballroom for the White House, which is something they've been trying to get, as you know, for about 150 years. And it's going to be a beauty.
I mean, and then he goes into the fourth stage of grief is construction, which is a funny joke.
Good line.
It's a good line. It was bizarre from the president. He's grieving. He's overwhelmed. Very good. How about the construction? Okay. The MAGA folks making sure to point out not one of them. Wasn't laughing about Charlie Kirk assassinated. Wasn't laughing that Erica doesn't have her husband. The two kids don't have a dad. All terrible things. If you want to decide the joke's not funny, you can decide. Fine. So what happens? Brendan Carr, in what Ted Cruz described as a mafiosa hit, said we can do this the easy way or the hard way with Benny Johnson, who they've elevated into a journalist when he's a successful MAGA follower. Funny, what happens then is Nexstar and Tegna, they're not stupid. They watch the whole CBS, Paramount, Larry Ellison situation and said, wait, we got a $6.2 billion deal here. We got to exceed the capacity size for ownership. And guess who's okay we need? Donald John Trump and Brendan Carr. And he already told us we can do this the easy way or the hard way. So guess what? We're not going to air kibble because we want to kiss the butt of the administration. And so then Bob Iger rolls over like Gertie did yesterday when I went and saw Gertie at Adam's house. Just rolled over, took Kimmel off the air. And then a lot of Invisible, very happy. You don't have to like Jimmy Kimmel. This, again, did I even watch it last night? I watched the whole monologue. I watched the clips. We're going to play some clips. I rarely have ever watched late night TV. And, of course, he's turned into, just like Colbert is and Stewart is, they're lefties, right? I clearly don't agree with Donald Trump. I make that clear. Do I personally? I don't think it would change me, Dave. But do I think they have to do as much politics as they do? No, I personally don't. That's just my personal opinion. And I get it if you're a Trump supporter and you feel like, hey, where's our guy? Well, you got Greg Gutfeld, who, by the way, is kicking all their butts in ratings. You have Fox News, which is kicking everybody's butts. Conservative talk radio, it's kicking everybody's butt. So then Kimmel's off the air and Trump is celebrating because he's talked about this for years. He celebrated Colbert and he also said, NBC, you're next. So stop it with your lies about it was just ratings. Ratings aren't good, 100% right. But it just happened that day after Brendan Carr says, we can do this the easy way or the hard way. And then those two networks with the $6.2 billion deal said, oh, bleep. We got to have the Trump administration prove this. He doesn't like Kimmel. This happens. And the only thing Trump was mad about was making fun of him and the joke. So Kimmel's off. I have no idea how long he's going to be off. Well, as you know, he was back last night. And here's part of his emotional response to the return.
I don't think what I have to say is going to make much of a difference. If you like me, you like me. If you don't, you don't. I have no illusions about changing anyone's mind. But I do want to make something clear because it's important to me as a human. And that is, you understand that it was never my intention to make light of the murder of a young man.
I don't think there's anything funny about it.
I posted a message on Instagram on the day he was killed, sending love to his family and asking for compassion, and I meant it, and I still do. Nor was it my intention to blame any specific group for the actions of what it was obviously a deeply disturbed individual. That was really the opposite of the point I was trying to make, but I understand that to some that felt either ill-timed or unclear, or maybe both. And for those who think I did point a finger, I get why you're upset. If the situation was reversed, there's a good chance I'd have felt the same way. I have many friends and family members on the other side who I love and remain close to, even though we don't agree on politics at all. I don't think the murderer who shot Charlie Kirk represents anyone. This was a sick person who believed violence was a solution, and it isn't. Ever. And also, selfishly, I am a person who gets a lot of threats. I get many ugly and scary threats against my life, my wife, my kids, my coworkers, because of what I choose to say. And I know those threats don't come from the kind of people on the right who I know and love.
I think that's excellent. I really do. Jimmy Kimmel's emotional. He has demonstrated that often, including talking about his son, who's had just very dangerous health matters. And he's talking about, again, if you saw it this way, that wasn't my intent. Admitting that it's possible that it was on the other side, he might feel just how they did. And talking about the disconnect he has with some family members and how he expressed his sorrow. Can you imagine the amount of death threats Jimmy Kimmel, Dave, has faced over the years? And
nope,
so the
idea, don't want to.
Yeah, I can't imagine. So the idea that he was just reveling in this, it's just a lie. And again, if you don't like the joke, you get it. You get to feel that way. And then on the truth part, before we play one other soundbite, Donald Trump is a pathological liar, in my opinion. He lies every day. He lies constantly. So all of you saying, well, he lied. First of all, the info wasn't confirmed by the courts yet. And then if the bar is about lying, Donald Trump should be behind the lying bars because it's incessant. And the bar we hold the president of the United States to versus a comedian on the truth, give me a break. But here's the last point from Kimmel.
This show is not important. What is important is that we get to live in a country that allows us to have a show like this.
Yeah! That's it. That's it. And I know it's so easy to brand yourself right now, whether you're the left or the right, because God knows there's plenty of lefties who just take every advantage once they get to point the finger and go with the we's and the they's and we're smarter than you. And there's just been an incessant amount of that now from the right, including people who knew Charlie Kirk. And I cannot say this enough. He's 31. He should be here today. There's no defending this. None. A wife and kids. He's gone. That doesn't mean you're not allowed to say, here's where I disagree with him. Or here's where I found his comments abhorrent. Or here's where I thought he was amazing. This wasn't ratings. This was a thin-skinned guy who gets his way and it's been a vengeance tour the entire time he's been president. And even in the tweet after Kimmel came back, he's threatening them again. He hasn't stopped threatening. He goes, I think we're going to test ABC out on this one. Let's see how we do. So when he's saying ratings, his other words don't live up to him. We should want lines where people If they go so egregiously past it, they face sanctions. But we're only doing it now. This government is only doing it if there are criticisms of the president. And even if you love Donald Trump, you should not think that is the direction this country should follow. I'm going to talk Pella right here. I'm going to talk about windows and doors. And it doesn't matter your politics. It doesn't matter if you agreed with what I just said or massively disagreed. You want to have high-quality windows that work all the time, whether it's beautiful like today or in about 3 months when it'll be 10 below. I have been a customer of Pella, PellaNorthland.com, for close to 20-some years. Moved recently. I didn't think I was going to move a few years back when I went to the showroom in Plymouth. They also have a showroom in Brooklyn Park. They also have a showroom in Woodbury. And I said, come on out. I want to see how my windows are. The house is of an age where I think it makes sense. Most of the windows were fine. Others, they adjusted. And guess what? They also changed my kitchen and made it immensely better. And when I moved, I made sure Pella would be a part of it. Right now in September, with days remaining, as a customer who believes in those windows 100%, glad to tell you two options. 0% APR for 48 months, or the other one, and these two are combined, $250 off per window, $500 off per door. Reach out today, PellaNorthland.com. Jason is in the house. He was hoping for an East Coast Twins game. Maybe like a 4 o'clock start, 3:30 pregame.
Be all right.
It'll be okay, right?
I have, I'm off the air early on Friday.
Yeah, what's going on?
Twins.
Okay.
And then
where are we finishing the year?
Tomorrow, you're almost not.
Our show. It's been a tough week for me. It didn't work Monday, Tuesday. Now I got an hour.
Yeah.
I'm drained.
Got a lot of stored up material.
Yeah.
Hate to waste it.
Yeah, you don't want to waste it.
Got a good take ready to go.
What's your opening take? What do you got? Tease us.
Oh, today?
Today's take. Sponsored by who would sponsor it?
The take?
The maybe Take like Association?
I would hope it would be the Blois newsletter with that super jazzy like liner that
Thank
you, just
you to
played.
Blois for sponsoring.
That's nice.
That's good money spent.
We're starting with guns in a special session.
Yeah.
Is it better to get something instead of nothing? I say yes.
Depends on what the something is, right?
Doesn't matter. You're not going to get gun laws changed.
No, there's
nor should you in a one day negotiated behind closed doors deal. I don't know
if they said it was just one day, right?
Well, you know, how are they going to do that?
Yeah, they don't get anything in guns if it's 5 months.
Well, that's the question. Are you happy if they do something that doesn't involve guns? Is that a win?
Well, yeah. If it helps mental health out more, other things, I'm all for it. I think Walls is going to say only guns, and that's why it's not going to happen.
No.
Jason will expand on that next.
Indeed.
This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K to 12 at ChooseProMavera.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.